Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of Permanent Magnets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sayam Pokharna from Tyl Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good afternoon, everyone. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today on this call. As a reminder, our Q4 and FY24 results, along with the investor presentation, have been intimated to the stock exchange and are available on the company website. Joining us today to discuss the results and provide us a brief overview of the business for the quarter and for the financial year, including the outlook for business, we have some esteemed members of the management team: Mr. Sharad Taparia, Managing Director; Mr. Sukamal Jain, Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. We will begin with a brief overview of the quarter and the year from Mr. Taparia, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that any forward-looking statement made during this call that can be considered as a forward must be considered in risk in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that are outlined in our annual report. With that, I'll hand over the call to Sharad, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Sayam. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the Q4 and financial year 2024 earnings call of Permanent Magnets Limited. Thank you all for taking out the time to attend this call. It is a pleasure to address you all today and walk you through our performance for the quarter and financial year. So regarding the financial performance, our financial performance for the year has been mixed. We reported a 9% increase in the total income for both the quarter and the full year. However, our profitability margins declined in the latter half of the financial year. We have explained this in our presentation that this was due to the changes in the product mix. The business from EV customers, or some of the EV customers, has been slow this year, resulting in a decrease in the contribution percentage from our top line. Consequently, we witnessed a drop in the gross margins, which has impacted the EBITDA margin and PAT margin. For the full financial year, our EBITDA margins stood at 18% compared to 23% in the previous year. We are expecting a comeback from the EV markets sometime, but it is difficult to predict a concrete timeline for the same. Now, regarding the domestic smart meters market, the smart meters market is looking to be a promising opportunity. It is being driven by a policy push from the Government of India. The industry has a target of 250 million meters, out of which only 11 million have been installed as of May 2024. Apart from the existing components that we are already supplying to the smart meter industry, such as CT, shunts, and assemblies, we are working to add more products to serve a larger portion of this opportunity. These new products under development and the breakthroughs on this front will add to our growth from this segment. Regarding the alloys facility, an important development has happened in this year, which is the commencement of our alloys facility in quarter four. We have talked earlier about working on capabilities over specific products as a strategy, and it is fair to say that the alloys business has been born out of our casting capabilities. This is a promising opportunity, and it has some inherent advantages in terms of quicker scale-up to commercial orders and longevity of business. We believe that this will be a decent contributor to our top line very soon. We are already in advanced talks with some prospective customers in the oil and gas, aerospace areas to begin commercial supplies for various alloys. As a backward integration project, we have also made investments in hydrogen and nitrogen gas generation plants at our facility to improve cost competitiveness in this segment. Updates regarding quantum magnetics. Business from quantum magnetics in the neodymium and other rare earth magnet space is expected to scale over the coming years. Our first objective to begin with components and assemblies made out of the said magnets, followed by backward integrated into the magnets value chain. We have completed our initial capex for this project and we are expecting revenues to start flowing from the current financial year. Regarding the outlook, so looking ahead, our outlook for the coming financial year remains positive, with domestic smart meters and alloys as the key drivers of incremental performance. EV markets are expected to make a comeback, but it is difficult to predict a timeline for the same. One more news is that we have Mr. Nirmal Jain has joined us as an additional director, non-executive independent director. He has 4 decades of experience. Mr. Jain is a fellow member of ICAI and ICSI. He has held key roles in JSW Group since 1992. His experience in mergers, finance, law, and restructuring was instrumental in establishing JSW as a rapidly growing conglomerate. We welcome him to PML board. So thank you all for continued support and trust in PML. We remain committed to delivering value to our shareholders and maintaining transparency in our communication. I now request moderator to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We will take our first question from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks. Good afternoon, sir. So just a couple of questions on the alloy business, first of all. So we have mentioned a positive commentary on the alloy business in our presentation. Sharadji, how do we look at this business in the coming 2 years? What kind of scale we can achieve in this business? Just to understand more about the business in terms of its economics, scale up, margins, if you could share some more details on this.
Yes. See, the alloy business is quite different as compared to the current business that we are doing. Alloys are standard alloys across the world and they are very long lasting. Currently, most of our products are customized products, so which means one product cannot be sold to another customer because the design belongs to that particular customer. In case of alloys, it is a standard alloys which we can sell to many customers. So the business model is quite different for alloys business. This business has grown out of the capabilities of casting, which we have been doing for so many years for the magnets. And we have experience in the nickel and cobalt and such super alloys based casting. and therefore we are very confident about producing the right quality. We have tested this with many customers and have got all positive results till now.
Commercial supply also started.
Commercial supplies have also started to some of the customers, and right now they are all evaluating our capacity versus what they are buying, and orders are starting to flow. So, and also the longevity of this business is much higher, because currently, as you know, the existing parts what we supply to EVs or to energy meter segment, they have a certain life. When the customer changes the design, we have to again develop the new design, what they offer us, and it takes about 1 to 2 years to establish that and then start commercial sales. And typical life of these type of products can be maybe 7 years, 10 years, sometimes 15 years. But alloys is a very long-lasting business, because the changes in this technology generally happens over many, many decades. The margins, your question about the margins on alloys, we have, I would answer it in, there are two ways we are doing this business. One, buying the virgin materials and supplying the alloy, in which the margins are comparatively smaller, maybe about close to, maybe you can say about 15% or maybe 20%. And in case of job work, where we buy, the customer has some reverts or scrap which they generate, and we are purifying those materials for them and adding some more elements into that to make a pure alloy, there the contribution margins are higher, because a lot of value addition is done to make that particular alloy. So as we go ahead, this overall margins, what will come from the alloy business, will depend on the product mix of these two categories. I hope I answered your question.
So just if you could share something like, you know, the based on the inquiries, the commercial supply, as Sukamal ji also pointed out, commercial supplies are also starting, and this being a new kind of business for us. So typically, maybe, you know, not the near term, but say next 2 years, what scale this business can go up to, given the applications and the customer inquiries or the customer feedback?
This has a very high potential. We are finding that customers are very, very interested. Also because the defense sector in India is, the business is increasing, and nickel alloys, cobalt alloys are particularly, we expect the demand to be quite high. So it can scale very well. Right now, our expectation for this financial year, it can range maybe between a top line of maybe 25, 15 to maybe 30 crores, something like that, in between, somewhere like that, depending on how quickly we are able to scale. And maybe in the next year, it can multiply more.
Sure. And with regards to the quadrant also, if you could share at what stage now we today are, and going ahead in next 6 to 12 months, where do we find ourselves, and of course, in the next 2 years?
Quantum is established as a subsidiary of PML, and it is in the business of making assemblies for electronic parts. And there, the plan is divided into multiple phases, three phases, let's say. And we have implemented phase one, which is making the assemblies. The CapEx has been done, and production has started in the new facility. Right now, we are in the final approval stages from the customer. So this year, commercial supplies will start, and as we go along, sometime within this year, we expect that we will finalize
the phase two, which is one step backward integration, and phase three will be further one step backward integration, which will be sometime maybe our expectation is in the maybe coming 2 years or 3 years. But that we will see first how the phase one ramps up, and depending on that, phase two and phase three we will implement.
Sure. So one last question. For last about 12-15 months, we have been working on, or in fact 2 years, we have been working on, you know, improving the value add to a customer, trying to give him a solution. And modules was a part of that. So at what stage now we are in terms of, you know, modules? We had mentioned that over the next 2-3 years, we should be there.
Yes, the modules development is going on. It is going on well. But the start of the projects given by customer is a little ahead. So commercial sales have not increased so much, but it is expected to come in the coming few years. But I would say it may be maybe 25-26, significant sales can start from 25-26, 26-27 onwards, because customers are automotive customers work well in advance to develop the parts. And there are many iterations that happen in terms of design and changes related to the design. A lot of testing they do.
Sure. So thank you so much, Sharadji and Sukhmalji, and all the best. Best wishes.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Anirudh Shetty from Solidarity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Just, you know, a few basic questions from my end because I'm a bit new to your company. So, you know, the last year, four or five years, you know, our EBITDA has been well about 19%. And you know, prior to that, it was in single digits. So, can you just explain what is that inflection point that led to that, you know, dramatic margin improvement? And, you know, FY24 might be a soft year from a margin perspective, but over time, as you utilize your investments better and as, you know, share of the product mix changes, what do you think is a sustainable EBITDA margin that you can work with?
We have two major segments of business, which is energy meter and automotive. In automotive also, there are two parts. One is the EV-related sales, and there is a smaller part which is related to conventional automobiles. Most of the products being a customized product, each product has a different margin level based on the complexity and the materials that are used in that particular product design. So in the last few years, we could scale up the products. The demand for the products which were more complex had increased, so therefore our margins were increasing. In the last year, because over those particular products demand was lesser, so therefore FY24 our margins overall show a reduction. But I am not too much worried about the margin levels on year to year. We are looking at a long term larger picture for the company to become a large. We are still a very small company. So we are working as an overall strategy. We have decided to work on capabilities and various products that address those capabilities. We are not saying that we are targeting EV or we are targeting energy meter. We are saying to the world that we have these particular capabilities, and any product related to that capability is within our domain. So margins year to year may change based on the product mix, but our idea is to take this company to a much larger scale, much larger level, based on various opportunities created out of these capabilities. That is what we are pitching to customers. And that is how we are able to introduced so many new areas of business. So alloy is such a type of business. And so many gas meters, for example, was such a type of business. So such a different opportunities are coming to us because of this strategy of ours.
Got it. So my second question is, we are, making our economics suggest that, we are doing something very unique. We are, a lot of our business, we are the only supplier. You did explain why alloy and casting is, a niche to do, but I just wanted your views on the core business, the magnetic sensing. What is the technology challenge there that, we've been able to solve? What is the difficult part of that business to crack?
You are talking about which business?
So our magnetic sensing, our current sensing and the magnetic assembly business. You spoke about the alloy and the die casting, but I wanted your views on the magnetic and current sensing businesses.
Yeah, so in the current sensing space, most customers have their designs. They come up with a concept and they give us a design to start with. And that design, we give our inputs to the customers to make improvements so that the cost is lower and the efficiency of that product is better. Because sometimes the designers do not know what losses can be there during the production process. And that we iterate and we give our suggestions. There are tolerances which sometimes if they keep too tight tolerances, the cost increases for production. So we give them our feedback. Then they make the changes. They again come back to us. And this iteration happens multiple times, maybe 6-7 times. Then we submit samples to them. So this whole process may take 6 months, 1 year, sometimes 2 years. And that input given by us to the customer is the key part. That is the value addition that we are doing, which helps them to design their products and to finally implement in the new EV platform. So that is really the value add that we are doing, because and once the design, the understanding is that once the design is final, then PML will produce the parts accordingly. And if there is a capability which is missing to produce that particular part, we initially do it by vendors and then later on install that capability within the company. That is the model we follow.
And is this also true for magnetic sensing, wherein there is a lot of value add that we give to our customer through our inputs around how to mass produce those products, or is that the value add different there?
Yeah, in some cases in magnetic sensing, their product is already established and they are just creating a new version. They do not want to change the design. All that work has been done earlier. So in some cases, we are the second supplier. So there, the only criteria to get the business is cost. So if our price is lower than the existing supplier, we will get the business. And based out of India, we believe we have a good cost structure. We are a low cost country. And also there is a demand from the customer to move, to have multiple sources of location instead of one single source or one single country. So they would like to have multiple sources given the uncertainty is going on. Political uncertainty is going on in the world. So that is also helping us to get more inquiries in the magnetic sensing and magnetic assemblies space.
Got it. And one final question is who?
I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, please restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll take a next question from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, Charaji and Sukhmanji. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. In the alloys business, I just wanted to understand two, three more things. So one was said, these alloys which we are going to make or which are already started to make, these are all, who are our competitors here and who could be our customers, if you can just answer that. And second question as a part of this is, so you said that we are trying to make it from two ways. One is buying the virgin metal and then making it, or from the scrap. So in terms of going for, I mean, how do you decide or how does, like, which method is going to be predominant and where do we play, etc.? How does it, like, how, what are the deciding factors for you or the customer, etc.? If you can maybe elaborate a bit more on that.
So I would not like to answer the name and name the competitors or the customers. We are relatively new in this business and developing, so I will not answer that question. And your other part was, how do we decide? So once we are approaching customers who are currently already buying the alloys, they have a certain requirement of quality. Sorry, there are two parts to this. Customers who are already buying the alloys, there mostly they require that we buy the virgin raw material, which is metals, and melt in the right proportion, establish the quality requirements. Here the main requirements are the impurities and the trace elements. These are the main requirements of the customer, which are difficult to achieve. And that, because of our experience of so many years in the casting space, we have the technology to do it. And that is why we have been able to be successful. And we know that customers have tried this with many other suppliers and they have not been able to establish this. There are only selected companies who can do this. For the job work where customers have scrap, there some customers have approached us where they are doing machining or they are making products out of these alloys, and because of the products they have some scrap generation. When they sell the scrap, they lose value of the metal because scrap is sold at a discount. What we are doing is we are converting that scrap into fresh material for them. So we are in fact giving them a value add. They are able to buy that instead of buying a fresh material. They are able to buy this reprocessed material, which is in fact as good as the fresh material. So it's a win-win situation.
Got it. And my assumption, I mean, if you can, you said you can't name the competitors, that's fair, but these are all import substitutes. Is that a fair assessment right now?
Yeah, there are import substitutes also, and then there are some domestic players also. But we are working on both.
Got it. And sir, again, let's say,
Mr. Rohit, may I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting. Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rudresh Kalyani from Kalyani Private Business. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I see that the bank balance has got increased by 3 times. Can you throw some insight on that?
Last year, our working capital had increased due to the growth that happened in the year 22-23. This year we have been able to reduce mainly our debtors, the receivables we have reduced, and the main contributor is that one.
Yeah, main contributor is a reduction in receivable, and that is being placed in FD as a for future requirement. So that you see from working capital.
I'm sorry, sir, you're not very clear. Can you come closer to the microphone, please?
In the year, the working capital, if you see the days, in financial year 23, we were at 150 days.
Okay, now 120 days.
Now it is 122 days. So we have recovered the receivables that were outstanding, and therefore the bank balance has increased.
Okay, thank you. And is it possible to give the breakup of the revenue between the different verticals?
We have given broadly the application-wise
in our presentation.
In our presentation, we have given the application-wise revenue. You can see, you can go through that. And it is
40%.
See, 1 minute. It is 48% comes from energy meter segment. 30% comes from automotive segment. And then there is 2% from gas, 17% from other applications. Broadly, this is the mix.
And my final question is, I saw that China's EV market has grown by somewhere around 33% in the previous year. So do we do any business with them? And so since we had a downtick on the EV, so I was just checking.
We have we supply to China, but those are mostly customers in Europe and USA. So they are the deciding factor. They tell us to supply to their integrators, and we supply to Chinese companies to integrate. But our supply to the Chinese EV manufacturers is not there. They are buying from China. They are buying from suppliers in China only.
Okay. Any plans to enter
the market? I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question is on the domestic smart meter side, you know.
Sorry, can you speak loudly, please? We are not able to hear.
So the first question is on the domestic smart meter front. So if you can talk about what kind of opportunity exists here, how do we see the scale-up for the domestic smart meter segment for us over the next 2-3 years, and related to that, you know, this earlier we did not want to participate in a big way in this market because of low margins. So now we are participating. So what kind of impact do you see on our long-term margins, EBITDA margins, because of, you know, the scale up which will happen in the domestic smart meters?
Yeah. So see, smart meter total opportunity is. The plan that the government has announced is about 250 million smart meters to be implemented, and out of which only 11 million have been installed. So it's a very large opportunity, and we never said that we are not targeting this segment. We were always targeting this segment. Margins are low, yes. But we are not in a position right now to our pipeline, although it is an increasing pipeline. Currently, we are not stopping any inquiries that are flowing to us from this segment or any other segment also. Once, if our pipeline is so big that we have to pick and choose, then we will decide whether we, obviously, we will select the higher margin business first, but that is not the stage currently. We are not limited by our capacity or any such factors. So we are taking all the business that is possible. So on the market side, this is expected to grow quite well. It is going to scale up very well, and it presents a good opportunity for us. We are going to add more products for this particular segment in near future.
So what kind of, you know, for a single smart meter, what kind of, you know, supplies can we have, you know, and the kind of currently we are supplying, like out of this, let's say a smart meter costs 2,000 rupees, so how much supplies can we do per smart meters, if you can talk about it, and how are we increasing that since we are adding new products?
We may be able to
See, it is different for different customers, maybe different thing, but it can range from, let's say, 20, 30 rupees to maybe 300, 350 rupees, something like that, depending on the product.
Sure, sir. The second question was on the Quadrant JV, you know. Quadrant JV, since we have, established the first facility. So how do you see the ramp-up happening on this part, you know, over the next 2, 3 years? How do you see this segment growing for us? And, you know, like, can it become 100, 200 crore kind of segment, not in the near term, but let's say in the medium term, 3 years or so?
Yes, it can become that kind of level, and it is already the subsidiary has been set up, the plant has been set up, commercial sales are starting this year, and the JV may happen maybe 1 or 2 years, depending on when we are looking at some legal formalities. So those are complete from both our sides, from Quadrant side as well as PML side, we will go ahead with that. But that is not stopping the business. On the business front, we are going ahead and developing those products, and now we are in the stage of customer approval.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Vaibhav Badjatya from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for providing the opportunity. So, just have two questions. You know, firstly, on the margin decline, to me, it seems like, you know, apart from the product mix changes, there are other factors here, because even if I assume that, you know, in overall, out of 100 rupees of total sale, even if there's a mix change of 20%, you know, the 5% movement in the margin seems quite high to explain the decline in the margins. So if you can help us understand, you know, out of the 5% decline in the margin that has happened in FY 2024, how much of that can be explained by product mix, and how much are the other factors? That's the first question. Secondly, on the, you know, we have seen US imposing some additional tariff on permanent magnets from China. So I'm not sure which segment of our company will get benefited, or will get some benefit in the JV, and if it is in the JV, then whether it's phase one, phase two, or phase three, when we'll get the benefit, if there are any. If you can just answer these two questions, that will be helpful.
Yeah. So the first is regarding the margin. It is due to product mix mainly. There are some products which are substantially high margins. Okay. And there are, so when you see the overall margin, it is a weighted average effect of all these products put together. And so when we see a reduction in the very, very high margin products, those then affect the bottom line significantly. So that is all that mostly we can say. There's no other major factor due to the decline. And we are not so much worried about margin decline, because that is when those products come into demand again, the margin may increase. So it totally depends on that. We are more concerned about long-term strategy, long-term growth of the company, and a faster growth. That is our target, a bigger pipeline, more diverse businesses, so that we are not dependent on EV segment or energy meter segment or government-related incentives. We do not want to put the company dependent on these factors. We want to have a very long-term, very stable, diverse company.
So we are mitigating risk.
Yeah. And therefore, our push on the capabilities, and therefore these different areas of business. I hope this answers your first question. And regarding the second question.
Yeah, so just on this, you know, if you can give me the EV-related product sales percentage in the total sales, because right now we have geography-wise sales and application-wise sales, which doesn't have specifically EV. So if you can give us whether the EV sale last year, say, suppose it was 10%, sorry, last year, suppose it was 20%, now it is 10%, what has been the change in terms of mix for EV-related product sales?
the overall automotive sales is about 30%, which is about, let's say, 60 crore rupees roughly. And out of this 60 crore, maybe
15 crore from other than
that. Yeah, maybe 15 crores out of this is maybe non-EV. Balance is all EV related sales.
And the proportion was similar last year as well, FY23.
Somewhat like this.
Yeah, similar. But within this segment also, there are products with different margins.
Okay, got it.
Because all products are customized products. We must understand that these are not standard products that we are supplying.
Got it. Yeah, and if you can answer my question.
The second question, yes. US has imposed a duty on the EVs as well as magnets also. And this may present an opportunity for us. But we do not know, I mean, we are still not ready
for that
to supply because we have not implemented phase 2 and phase 3. Once we implement, we have implemented phase 1, which is the complete assembly. So, yes, it is an opportunity, but not an immediate one. It can play out, maybe in the coming years it may play out.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Ayush Agarwal from MAPL Value Investing Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah.
Okay. So my first question is on the alloys business. You mentioned that, you know, this year maybe we can do 25-30 crores. In 4 to 5 years, what kind of, you know, target or vision do we keep for this segment?
It can. We have not set any target as of now. We believe it has a large potential.
Yes, domestic
also, internationally also, and it can scale up quite well. So I can't give you any particular number on the target.
But it's package scalable.
It is scalable, and then many other opportunities can come out of this business also, and this materials also. So it's quite a exciting and new journey for us. Can't give you any particular number on the target.
Alright, so the other way to understand is that, you know, if you can tell us about the market potential in domestic market itself, how big is the market for like nickel and cobalt alloys or the kind of products we are targeting?
We are still doing the market mapping because alloys, there are a multitude of alloys, maybe thousands of crores, but we have still not decided our sweet spot for this. We are right now in the stage where we are getting inquiries and we are checking our costs and we are offering to customers. Some prices have been finalized. So we have still not decided which is our eventually the target market within the alloy space. Okay. So I can't tell you right now the addressable market size. We are too small right now. But hopefully it will grow and we will focus our attention on one particular segment of this.
Understood. Sir, one more question on alloy business is that you mentioned when you buy the virgin material and then melt it and convert it into alloy, where you make 15-20% margin. Another segment that you mentioned that when you take scrap from the customers, what margins do you make then?
That depends on the complexity. Sometimes there have to be multiple refining processes and many other complexities. Sometimes the losses are very high because the scrap is in bad condition. So if the complexity is high, we can achieve a margin of maybe 30%, maybe 35%, even higher also. And sometimes in the virgin also alloys business, if it's a fairly standard, very regular alloy, which say low cost Chinese companies are supplying, we may go down to margins which are even very low margins, like 7-10%, 12%. We can do that also. So it's a totally,
because they are costly material.
Yeah. So it totally depends on the alloy type and the scrap type.
And where exactly does that capability lie?
May I request you to join back the queue, please?
What edge do we bring to this business? Pardon me?
May I request you to join back the queue, please? As we have other participants waiting.
One small question. What edge do we bring to this business? Like, what is our exact capability here?
Casting is the main capability, and then related now metallurgy, the knowledge of metals, casting, and how to purify, how to achieve the required chemistry. That is the critical part of it that we are doing. And then based on this, now we will look at further forward integration also. We will see what other opportunities arise out of this.
Wonderful. So thank you for asking the question.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Gautam Goyal from HCMR Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes. So my first question is on like smart meters. So you said like there's a market of like 250 million meters and our product ranges from 30 rupees to 300. So like what are the typical margins that we make on our revenue on this? And like, what is the percentage of market that we are aiming to tap like on this? And do we see our revenue share, like which is 40% right now for fiscal year 24, increasing in the coming years from the energy meter segment?
The margins depend again on the metal content. If the metal content is high, then the margins are low. So it can be ranging from maybe 10% to 20%, somewhere around that range. Depending on complexity and the metal content, it can be in that range. And okay. It will, we see a good potential. It can increase our revenues. There can increase significantly based on what new products we add and our approvals from customers, how that plays out in the coming years. Opportunity is quite big.
And what is the percentage of the market that we are aiming to tap like in the coming couple of years? Because like I guess this scheme was initiated in 2022 and it's been going on since then. So like and also do we see any revenue increase like in terms of percentage for us in the coming years from the energy meter, like from the 48%?
Yeah, that depends on how the 48% actually is the total number of sales, total sales that we have done. So depending on how the other businesses grow and depending how the energy meter grows, that percentage will be decided by that. We are not stopping any inquiry flow currently from any of these segments, energy meter, automotive. Yeah, we think that it can grow quite well, quite significantly it can grow.
So do we have any competitors in this segment, like who like get directly the same assemblies or something, like the sort of us that we supply to these electricity?
Yeah, there are competitors. There are Indian companies who do that. There are Chinese companies who do that. So we are competing against them.
Okay. And just one final question. Like, as we are like venturing into, like rare metals segment, especially the neodymium magnets, and they find their extensive application even in like wind turbines, motors, and like all the components, permanent magnets in there. So like, are we looking into like going into that space as well, or we'll just stick to the electrical components first and probably later we'll see that?
Quantum magnetics has been established for rare earth magnets assemblies for that purpose. Okay. And that there the phase 2 and phase 3, the idea is to produce rare earth magnets in India. Currently, 90% of the material is sourced from China. But India also has a source, and Indian government wants Indian suppliers to produce rare earth magnets. But the industry is dominated by the Chinese, and sometimes it is difficult to compete in this segment due to pricing pressure put by Chinese players. So, but with the complete Indian supply chain, some customers may be willing to pay a premium also for this. Our target is to enter into this segment. We are going ahead there. But the phase one is only related to assemblies.
No, so I'm asking about like wind renewable energy. So like these magnets find their extensive application in the renewable sector, especially in the wind sector, like the wind farms and windmills. So like, is it in the plan?
We start with one application. We start with the once we start magnet production, then we will look at all the magnets that are required in wind or EV or whatever space they are needed.
Okay.
And we will start taking orders based on the margin level for each type of magnet. So then it is not a problem to produce any type of magnet.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Prateek Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the alloy side, since we have been there in this or we have had understanding of alloys as well as casting for many years, what has changed now specifically in the industry or the end customers for us to be able to tap, very significant pie of the market? What has changed now?
The change is mostly within us. The change is not in the industry. We decided to focus on the capability. We decided to focus on this capability and enter this business. So we are pushing this. What has changed in the industry is the increased demand in the defense sector by push given by government of India, which they are indigenizing parts. And they are so the materials required by these defense companies will need super alloys and these type of alloys.
So up until now, were we having any deficiencies in terms of product quality up until now for us to not be able to tap it earlier?
We started thinking about this casting as a business about 4 years ago. That was the first thought process. Until then, from these last 4 years, we were building and trying various options related to casting business, trying to see what margins are there, what can we produce, what equipment is required. All those iterations were going on. Finally, now last year we made the investment. So it is now fructifying. So we could have done this maybe many years ago also. But okay, whenever we decided 4 years ago. So it has come to life. So
great.
You would say that industry has remained the same, mostly, except this requirement by the defense sector from Government of India.
Right. And on the
Mr. Chaudhary, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, please restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Vikram Saraswat from Nivesha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. So I have only one question. So recently, US government imposed 100% duty on EV import from China. So we are exporting to these companies. They are manufacturing in China and then supplying to US and Europe market. So this will impact our business?
Our main customers who approve the parts are in USA and Europe. And they decide where the integration of these parts will happen. They can decide whether it can happen in Mexico or China or maybe Eastern Europe. So if there is a duty imposed, they may decide to change that location of integration or whatever. I don't think it has any impact on our business. At least today, we can't see any impact on our business.
So there can be positive impact on our business.
It can be if the demand from the European and American manufacturers increase for the United States market, it will be a positive impact for us because our demand will go up for those particular platforms.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sharji. My questions are on the alloys segment. You said 30 crores top line. Is it right to assume 3,000 rupees per kg realization? So roughly volumes will be 1 lakh kgs. And the other way to look at it, we seem to have a 50 kg per hour rim machine. So 250 days, 8 hours also gives me 1 lakh kgs.
It can, so the alloy, nickel alloys range is around somewhere around 2000 to 3000 range. Cobalt alloys may be more expensive. So, and steels are cheaper. And the scrap processing, there we are only doing job work. So there the top line is very less. So 20 to 30 crores when we say top line, expectation in this year is a mix of all of these numbers. So if, for example, if the scrap business is higher, reprocessing, I mean, when I say scrap, I mean reprocessing. If that business is higher, the top line will be much lower, but the bottom line will be healthy.
So, what is the margin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if it is, if you consider a full business from virgin alloys, your estimation is more or less correct. It is about 100,000 kilos at the rate of, let's say, 3,000 is that, but it may be ranging from 2,000 to 3,000 roughly that way.
Okay, and the capacity will be 1 lakh kg roughly.
Capacity we are doing some improvement, so capacity we may have a capacity by within this year, sometime between maybe 150,000 to maybe 200,000 kgs roughly.
Okay, okay.
That also depends on the cycle times. More complex the alloy, the cycle time may be more so. It really depends on, again, alloy to alloy.
Cycle time in terms of the machine supply.
Kumar, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting. Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Vivek Seth, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
So these alloys which are being used in the aerospace industry, I believe they would be required to meet certain standards. So, is our company on track to achieve those standards?
We have to take certain approvals and also quality standard in terms of AS certification. So, we are in the process of doing that, AS certification. And then in the aerospace also, they require... to answer your question, we need some of them we already have and some we need to do.
Can you specify the standards we have already achieved?
We have ISO, TS, OSHA's, and also one more. We have this ISO, TS, OSHA's, IATF we have, and AS is pending for this particular plant. The other plant we already have AS. For this plant we need AS.
Okay. So, since you did not disclose the suppliers or the customers, can you just confirm whether they would be government customers or the private companies that would be giving the orders?
We are working both. We have inquiries from both the segments. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Raghavendra Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Congratulations on the top line. A lot of people, I don't think, were expecting that. Could you give some detail on the quadrant JV we have? Are we free to pursue agreements with other companies also for technical know-how, considering the tariffs will kick in 26 and we should see demand decrease?
Right now, we have signed a non-binding MOU. So right now, legally, we are free to talk to company, but we find that Quadrant is supporting us well, and we would like to go ahead with them at the moment. They have a fairly good standing worldwide. So we are not pursuing any other opportunities for rare earth magnets, any other companies. Right now we are not looking at that.
Okay, thank you. And are the vacuum induction furnaces also going to be useful for phase two of quadrant? Or is there some other equipment also which we need to invest in?
It can be useful in the material production for rare earth alloys. Yes, it is one of the processes.
And how much more CapEx would be required for phase two in quadrant?
The overall, we made an overall plan. So just an initial plan that we look at the total business was phase one, phase two, phase three put together about 260 crores. This was the plan. Now, depending on the timeline, we will see how it is to be done.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sir, you mentioned this high margin, it's being impacted. So when do you think this high margin product can come back to the track in terms of the demand? I think you had some slowdown. So because I heard earlier commentary from some other spheres, not exactly competitor, maybe a partner, that the EV demand or other demand can go up from next quarter onwards.
So that depends on the customer when they get their demand, and that depends on the general EV demand related to Europe and USA. So I can't say exact time period when it can come back.
But right now, what's the direction you are seeing for that? Is it still soft, or do you think it's two quarters away? What's your sense right now?
We don't have any view from the customer right now, so I can't comment when it will happen. But our direction is not to depend on one particular segment and to diversify such that we are not affected by such kind of variations.
Okay. In terms of this margin,
Mr. Soni, I request you to join back the queue, please.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions. So one, you mentioned this, your quadrant JV can probably do 200-300 crores if things go well, if we scale up in 2-3 years. Can you talk about the margins there as well? I mean, how are you thinking? And just longer term, I mean, not immediately, probably 3-4 years out, I mean, there are various pulls and pushes there in the sense that smart meters are slightly lower margin. Alloys could be also slightly lower compared to where we are today in terms of company. If we take one product mix, I mean, one way of doing things. So, I mean, as an overall company, you talked about you want to scale up the company much faster from a size perspective. How should we think about margins? I'm again not talking about next 12 months or 18 months, probably let's say 2-4 years out. How are you thinking? How should we think about margins and how are you thinking about that? You can maybe talk about that. Yeah.
See, we are building a pipeline of projects in this EV energy meter segment, and right now we are not restricting ourselves from taking on any project. Our pipeline is although healthy pipeline, but still it is not such a large pipeline that we can refuse projects. So therefore, we will grow. Whatever comes to us within this our capability range, we will grow. Once we reach a pipeline level where we have to pick and choose, then the time will come where we will pick and choose higher margin opportunities. So I hope I'm answering your question.
So just from, I mean, so if you are at, let's say, 18% and historically you've done much more than this. So as a company, while you may not look at like a percentage margin, but I'm just trying to understand, is there a chance that in the interim time, let's say by the time we scale up and reach a level where we can pick and choose, is there a chance that the margins may be a bit subdued because in the interim, I'm just trying to understand. Is that understanding even correct or that may also be not correct?
Currently, the demand, what we have experienced in the last half of FY24 is at a similar level. You can say yes, in this quarter, maybe similar levels can be expected. Whenever it will pick up, then it will improve. It is purely depending on when the customer gives their demand. Although the customers are saying that they are trying to use the same products which we have developed in other platforms also. They are also working on that.
Thank you. We'll take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sharat Taparia for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
I thank you everyone for participating in the call. Your questions are important for us, and we strive to be transparent in our investor communications. If there are any unanswered questions, please get in touch with our investor relations team to take it forward. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Permanent Magnets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.